In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Holy Cross Day goes back to the time of Constantine, who was the emperor of the Roman Empire when Christianity was declared the religion of the empire. His mother Helen is said to have discovered the wood of the cross in the year 320. And this wood became an object of great devotion both in the 4th century and beyond, because this horrible tree of death had become for all the world a tree of life. Jesus tells Philip and Andrew and all the Greeks that he must be lifted up on that tree so that he might draw all people to himself. Now, when the Greeks came to Philip and Andrew wishing to see Jesus, they had no idea that it would be through a tree that death would be overcome. So Jesus tells them the real reason why they wish to see him. "The hour has come," says Jesus, "for the Son of Man to be glorified." But Jesus could not be glorified until he does the Father's bidding. "Now is my soul troubled," Jesus says, "and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify thy name." And it is a voice from heaven that announces Christ's glorification. And in explaining how it is that he is to be glorified, Jesus concentrates our attention on his victory over Satan. "Now is the judgment of this world," he says. "Now shall the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." And the evangelist St. John tells us that Jesus says these words to show by what death he was to die. What a strange God we have, and how contrary our God is to the expectations of our culture. To be lifted up on a cross is to be glorified. But to be lifted up on a cross in death is to show us what God is really like. That he is a God of life precisely because he first must be a God who dies. For the tree of the cross upon which Jesus dies is the tree for the life of the world. And Jesus shows us that death is the means for gaining life, and that his death is the means for bringing all people this life. Now, Jesus does say something else quite puzzling to these Greeks. He says, "Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." The fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the Garden of Eden, when eaten, brought death. And Adam and Eve knew right away, because of the consequence of their disobedience and sin, that they would now have to work and sweat, that they would have to break the ground and plant seeds, seeds that would die, and that only in the death of these seeds would there be new fruit that would rise to replace the fruit of paradise that they had forfeited with their sin. This rhythm of nature is the rhythm of planting and growing, of descent into the ground, and ascent into the creation with fruit-bearing trees. As the seed of the new creation, Jesus must make this same descent from heaven into the world and then back to heaven again. The Creator of all things must become one of us. Conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, be crucified, and die on the tree. And like all seeds before him, this Lamb of God must die and be buried in the earth. But his death and burial is for the life of the world, and on the third day, he begins his ascent back to heaven when he rises from the dead, and his resurrection is now the first fruits of all who have fallen asleep. The focal point of our life here at this seminary is this tree of the cross that is now the tree of life. Jesus promises you that when you preach this message, he will be with you, and he will bring you and your people into a garden of life like this place. And here is where he will give you his flesh to eat and his blood to drink. And through these gifts from his holy cross, you will be glorified. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.